Well, good morning, everyone. Or if we were in Kenya, we would say Habari Zenu. And then you would all have to say Mzuri Sana, but I won't make you try and do that. Very good. So I'm Marcia Croft. I'm from Purdue University. And today I'm going to talk about consumer preference for quality in three leafy vegetable species in Western Kenya. So first I'd like to talk a little bit about what African leafy vegetables are. Then I'll talk about formal and informal markets in Western Kenya, go into the models we built for consumer demand, and then conclude with some recommendations. So, African leafy vegetables, I don't know if you've heard about them before. They're an incredibly diverse and widespread set of leafy greens. Three of them are pictured on the slide, so you have nightshade on the top, not poisonous, spider plant, and amaranth. These are just three of the most common, but they're really eaten across sub-Saharan Africa, not just Kenya. They form the backbone of traditional diets. They're incredibly nutritionally dense, both in vitamins and minerals, and they're also an important source of income for smallholder farmers. So once they're produced, they are sold in one of two kinds of markets, either the formal markets, which are represented by supermarkets, or informal, more traditional open-air markets. So even though the vast majority of produce is sold in the traditional open-air markets, there has been a shifting balance, with supermarkets growing at almost 20% every year, as supermarkets spread into smaller and smaller cities in Kenya. But the supply chains are still developing to meet the growing urban demand. Urbanization is actually happening at a higher rate in sub-Saharan Africa than anywhere else in the world. And so it's estimated that the current supply is meeting only 60% of the demand for leafy greens in Nairobi, the capital city of Kenya. So what we've observed in the formal and informal markets in Eldoret, the town that I'm living in now, is that there is a huge gender gap. So informal markets are almost exclusively run by women, 91.3%, whereas formal markets, women in power in the produce section is only 22%, so a huge gap there. Produce tends to be sourced locally in informal markets, an average of 73 minutes, and almost twice as much in the formal markets. So coming from distribution centers, often a long way away, infrastructure isn't great, so it takes a long time to get there. Post-harvest handling, however, in informal markets, if you can see in this picture, there's a bucket of dirty water at the bottom, and that is used to sprinkle liberally over the leafy vegetables to keep them nice and fresh looking. And it works, they look great. You don't know exactly what's in that dirty water, though. However, the supermarkets use refrigerated transport in general. However, they come from so far away, by the time they get there, the produce is limp and terrible looking, really not very appealing. For informal market vendors, they cited low quality as a problem for only 11%, but at least half of formal market vendors said that low quality was a big problem for them. So what we wanted to know was if smallholder farmers could invest in improving quality post-harvest handling, is there a market for top quality vegetables in Western Kenya? And our research question was, what are the determinants of consumer demand for top quality in African leafy vegetables in Western Kenya? So what we did was we took these nine pictures out to consumers. We have amaranth on the top row, nightshade in the middle, and spider plant on the bottom. And we had examples of bundles from low quality on the left all the way up to high quality on the right. And these prices were set already from 10 shillings at the lowest to 20 shillings at the highest. 20 shillings is about 20 cents, just to give you an idea. But still, this is a 100% increase from the lowest quality to the highest quality in terms of price. Then we asked consumers, which of these bundles would you be, for each species, would you be most likely to purchase? And we talked to consumers across three different cities in Western Kenya, Eldoret, Busia, and Kakamega. I'll show you a map later. And we looked at consumers in both formal and informal markets, and then created separate models for each species. So the parameters that we included in the model were for location, so Busia and Kakamega as compared to Eldoret. You can see they're all fairly close to each other in Western Kenya. We included market types, so whether this is a formal market or an informal market, gender, and asked consumers how much would you be likely to spend on produce in 1 week and log transform that. We asked if consumers had a garden at home and if they grew their own African leafy vegetables in that garden, and then what their highest level of education was, primary, high school, as compared to college or more. age, or household size. So first I'll show you the model for nightshade, and these are the marginal effects. I've only included the significant ones to keep it easy to read, but if you'd like to see all of them later, I can show you. So first we found was a really significant effect of gender. So being female increased the probability of choosing top quality nightshade by almost 15%. As well, budget was very important, so a 1% increase in budget would lead to a 4% increase in the probability that you'd choose top quality nightshade. Having a garden at home was, however, a really big factor, increasing the probability by almost 60%. However, if you grew your own African leafy vegetables, you were much less likely to choose top quality nightshade. Spider plant, we found some similar effects and some very different. So spider plant had a very significant effect by place. So Busia and Kakamega were 30 or 20% more likely than Eldoret to choose top quality spider plant. So if you are growing spider plant in western Kenya, it's a much better idea to try and sell it in Busia or Kakamega if you're going for top quality. Again, gender was an important factor, so being female increased the probability by about 12%. Budget was the same as in nightshade, and having a home garden also increased the probability, though this time growing your own African leafy vegetables was not significant. Our final model was for amaranth, and in this one we found no significant effects at all. So surprisingly, we found that there were very different determinants of consumer demand, and none of our parameters significantly explained what drove consumer demand for top quality of amaranth. So in conclusion, we found that there were very big differences between these three species that we looked at, and this was in contrast to some of the literature that's out there already that tends to treat African leafy vegetables as a homogenous group, consumer demand is all the same, but what we found was that it really depended on the species that you were looking at. In general, though, women and farmers and people who tend to spend more on produce were the more likely ones to choose top quality produce. Education and market type, however, were not significant, and this is again contrary to some previous literature that's out there that has found these to be important factors. But overall, we can say that 71% of consumers chose at least one bundle of top quality, indicating that there might be a very large market out there for high quality produce. So some of our recommendations would be if smallholder farmers are able to grade their produce by quality. This is something that's common in America but almost never seen in Kenya. So this would be a very simple step in order to capture a greater profit for smallholder farmers. And if they are able to invest in post-harvest handling, they may be able to recoup some of these costs by charging a higher price once they make it to market. For vendors, if they are able to source locally, they might be able to achieve higher quality products. And as you can see in this picture, infrastructure is a huge problem. This would be something for maybe a city council or a government to invest in, but this would also help to reach the markets with top quality produce. These are my references, and I'd like to thank my research team, Franny Einters, Spencer Evans, Josh Manai, and our local collaborators, Nama Nondengo and Pamela Obora. And this research was funded by the USAID Horticulture Innovation Lab and the D. Woods Thomas Memorial Fund. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Question from Marcia? Is that Jim Simon at Rutgers?
Yes.
Do all three of the leafy greens, are they consumed or prepared the same way? Are some of those eaten raw? Or what are some of the, I don't.
Yeah, actually, so leafy greens are, in Kenya at least, are almost never eaten raw. Actually, I've never seen any vegetables eaten raw. They're all cooked, usually boiled, or then boiled and fried, or boiled and steamed and fried. They really cook the crap out of them. So that's one of the challenges, is getting the nutrition, because at that point you've boiled most of them out, most of the nutrients out of there.
But so they're all pre-prepared.
Exactly the same. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, an incredible diversity of leafy greens, at least 20 different species that you could look at, but they're all prepared exactly the same way, which was really astonishing to me when I got there, that there wouldn't be different ways to cook them.
Other question? What else would they grow in the garden if they didn't grow leafy greens?
So the most common staple crop would definitely be maize. There's maize as far as the eye can see everywhere you go. But in terms of vegetables, the most popular is They call it skuma wiki, which is like a collard, so you can harvest it for a long time. And that's the cheapest leafy green you can get in the markets. They also have chard, and, you know, sometimes some tomatoes, but there's not a ton of diversity.
Okay.
Not as frequently in Western Kenya, at least that I've seen. But I think in Tanzania there's more.
You said the nightshade is not a poisonous one, so mm-hmm. it's a different species than what we have here, are the leaves not poisonous?
The leaves are not poisonous. I think nightshade is just a really terrible common name for this plant. It's a solanaceous species, but everybody says that and everybody wants to eat it. But it's actually very healthy. It tastes just like spinach, pretty much.
Sorry, we talked about 20 other species. That balance of those out of these three were also leafy greens as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are two or three others off the top of your head?
Well, cowpea is very common. There's also Malabar spinach. I'm trying to think of the names in English because now I can only think of them in Swahili. There's also, there's a brassica that I haven't been able to identify, Acrotolaria, Corchorus, and a couple others, but yeah, none of them would be.
I mean, if you follow them correctly,
great, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the leaves, absolutely.
Did you do the data collection yourself?
With the help of these wonderful people, yep. But it wouldn't have been possible when we talked to a lot of people.
Were they reluctant to participate in the survey, or did you have a lot who were?
It was interesting. So at the beginning, it was tough because we were trying to translate it into Swahili and have it, you know, so that you could explain some of these concepts, which are a little confusing. But once you got to the pictures, everybody was so interested. They took the questions really seriously, and some of them would spend a long time like trying to decide between these three bundles, which were they going to choose. In general, the supermarkets were a lot easier to survey in because, you know, people are kind of taking their time. They're just walking through. But sometimes in the open-air markets, you get swarmed by this mob of people who are all trying to answer the questions for this one person, and it's a little overwhelming. But
do you think that with the personal interaction that anybody made their decisions kind of maybe different because of another person there, you know, different than
There definitely could have been. I think it would be difficult to control for that, you know, like take one person and hide them away in a room and have them answer the questions all by themselves. That would certainly make me suspicious, so I don't know about Kenyan consumers. We definitely could have had a bias there. But in general, people were moving through the markets so quickly that we were able to get different, at least groups of people all the time.
Okay.